Hi, Marty Lurie, KMBR 680. One of the great moments for me being at the ballpark opening day, and we run into Joe Garagiola Jr. Title now with MLB?
Senior Vice President of Standards and On-Field Operations.
And he's a lawyer, too.
That's right.
All right. First of all, I want to express my condolences and that of all the fans who listened to the passing of your dad, Joe Garagiola, and just some of the thoughts about that. And, of course, your dad meant so much to baseball.
Well, first of all, thank you, Marty. We've gotten so many nice tributes and sentiments that, as I've told people, it's a sad time, but you can't be sad for very long because there are just too many happy memories. I mean, this is somebody who did what he loved to do his whole life, and it was a life that lasted 90 years, and as tough as the last few months were, they don't put much of a dent in those first 90. They were pretty good.
Yeah, and he meant so much to the game, being an icon, of course, TV and radio, but his contributions to the game through the baseball assistance team, the spit tobacco situation, which we now see here in San Francisco, is a law against it. But he went beyond just playing the game or talking about the game.
You know, he really did. As you say, he was one of the founders of BAT. And then, which has become a wonderful organization in large measure to the generosity of the players. But then the spit tobacco campaign, it's so ironic. I mean, the stories today about Mayor de Blasio signing the law in New York City, as you say, it's here. That was a battle he fought for years, at times a pretty lonely one. He'd go into clubhouses and players would say, you again with this. But it was personal to him, as were all the things that he was interested in. And he would be enormously gratified to see the way it has taken root.
Boy, Joe Garagiola Jr. with us talking a little bit about his dad. Brian Sabian told me a story of the players from the Hill. And, of course, your dad, Yogi Berra, the most well-known. But Bobby Hoffman was the third one. And Brian said Bobby Hoffman was terrific, longtime New York Giant, scout, sure, minor league man. Did everything but manage in the major leagues. Yeah. I didn't know that. Bobby Hoffman.
Oh, yeah. And people don't realize that Jack Buck, for years, lived on the same street, Elizabeth Avenue. Yes. In fact, it's called, the city some years ago renamed it, Hall of Fame Place, because you have Yogi and Jack and Joe, all who were residents at various times of that same block. Some block, huh?
Okay. It's better than my block. I have Jerry Reinsdorf. I think that's all I got on my block in Brooklyn.
Good. Pretty good. You can claim the chairman. That's all right.
All right. Let's talk a little ball. And again, it's always great to see you out here. John Gibbons, the manager of the Blue Jays, had the great quote the other day: "We're going to come out with dresses next." Of course, they said that about the NFL quarterbacks before all the concussion stuff happened as well. What's going on with the slide at second base? How do you see it?
I don't think it's as big a change, perhaps, as people are making it out to be. I think the elements are pretty simple. We went around to all the clubs this spring and explained what's going on. Interference is still interference. It's always been interference. Now, though, what we're focusing on is having the players get on the ground before the base and then slide to the base and make an attempt to stay on the base. And, you know, much as the collision rule, it's a safety issue. We want to keep these players on the field. The players are who the fans come to see. And I think modifications like this really don't, in the end, affect how the game is played on the field. It's still baseball. But if it, as the collision rule has done, if it keeps players out there on the field and off the disabled list, that's a good thing.
And the neighborhood play is now reviewable. And, of course, we saw that for years. Bill Mazeroski, I don't know if he ever touched second base, but the ball went in and out of his gloves so quickly. But what about the neighborhood play?
Well, the so-called neighborhood play. You're right. That play at second base can now be reviewed. And that was sort of, I think, the back half of if we're going to make the runners go directly at the bag, then the infielder can now use the bag as kind of a defense, keeping it between him and the player. So he should be in contact with the bag.
All right, baseball is, I don't think, ever been stronger. I know there's a feeling, well, we've got to get younger demographics. Half the All-Star team is probably 23 or under. This is a trend now in baseball.
It's great. I mean, you look around, I mean, every team. You can almost literally go to any team and find a terrific young player. And I think we saw that last year with attendance. I mean, when you add up the major leagues and the minor leagues, well over 100 million tickets sold. And just so many exciting young players out there on the field. I agree with you that it's a great time to be a baseball fan.
Is baseball too worried, though? I mean, it's still that Leonard Kopp always said, just play the games. People want to see the games. They want the story. Does baseball worry too much?
I think we have a great game. I think that's evidenced every year by the millions of fans who don't just come out to the games, but watch the games, watch them on their phones, all of these things. But at the same time, and I think pace of play is a good example. I think we always have to be cognizant and thinking about ways to improve the game, improve the experience of the game without really tampering with its essence, which is what makes the game the game.
Yeah, this is two lawyers talking now. All right, two lawyers talking. But if you have all these...
So nothing will get accomplished is what you're trying to say, Marty.
Exactly.
Okay.
Two lawyers talking, all right. Okay. But if you have all these reviews of neighborhood play, the slides, doesn't that add to the time of a game?
Not appreciably. I mean, we have done a lot of studying on that. We changed that last year. So instead of the manager having to walk all the way out, now he can stay in his dugout and just signal the umpire. So that saves a little time. We've shortened up some of the dead time between innings. We've got a 30-second clock now just to speed up mound visits. These are all these little incremental things that will enable us to absorb replays, which don't occur that often over the 2,400 and some odd games that we play. So as I say, I think. Pace of play is a good example of how you can make slight adjustments that enhance the experience, allow us to do things like replay, which clearly is such a great benefit to the game in terms of the accuracy of calls and getting plays right, and still have an event that people enjoy going to.
Yeah, it's a world we live in, and I know baseball had to adjust to that because everyone could see it, so baseball had to adjust to it. I still say throw strikes, let a pitcher go 8 innings, and the game's going to go a lot faster.
Well, I'm sure most managers would agree with you. If they had a pitcher that could stay out there 8 innings and keep throwing strikes, they'd leave him out there.
Love seeing you. It's always great to see you, and great to talk baseball with you. And again, our condolences on the passing of Dad.
Thank you, Marty. Great to be with you, as always.
That's Joe Garagiola. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.